I'm Linda.
And I'm Tando. This is Hanyam Home. Hanyam Home is a safe landing space designed with you in mind.
Let's have conversations about the relationship we have with self, others, and the world at large. Welcome home, everyone.
Hi, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Hanyam Home. It feels like I haven't said that in such a long time. And we are glad to be back. We're glad to be back with an episode. And this episode, we are going to be exploring when you are tired of keeping it together. I know a lot of us do have times when we're just sick and tired of having things put together and also just showing up. So this is our first episode back. We hope you guys didn't miss us too much. We had to take a break. There were so many things that were happening, and also just getting our money off the ground was a lot of work, but it was fulfilling work. So we really appreciate you guys still sticking around, listening to the older episodes. A lot of people have been listening to the reruns of the old episode, and I really, really appreciate that. And also I wish that, you know, we can just carry on in this mood and this energy. But life does tend to come at you, and sometimes you're just tired of keeping it together. Hi, Linda. How are you?
Hi, Tando. I am very, very well, thank you. I am so excited, actually, that we're doing this again. It literally feels like I am starting from scratch. But as mentioned, it took a lot of effort and work to put our money together. And it was fulfilling, like, very, very necessary work. And I'm excited to see how the platforms feed into each other. I'm excited to see everything, like, both of them just keep growing. I'm excited for that growth.
Yeah, I'm also just excited to see the community grow. It has been growing and it continues to grow, and I want to see it grow even further. And I recall there's this trend on TikTok at the moment that is happening, and people are listing the things that they are growing tired of. And the list obviously ranges from, like, social media to keeping it together to work-life balance and, like, virtual meetings and the likes. So for me, I think personally, I've just found that there've been moments where I'm just about to break at the seam, and it was very necessary for me to reach that point, because that becomes the turning point, right? Because then it allows me to piece myself together up again, and this time maybe try something different. Do you find that you have been maybe also dealing with, like, Zoom fatigue or work-life balance fatigue, or just fatigue in general around keeping things together and showing up even when you don't want to show up?
Yes, like, it's exactly what you were saying. I think you tweeted this yesterday that, like, balance is pretty much a myth. We kind of chase this unicorn that we call balance, and it never really comes because you're constantly sacrificing something for something else. I feel that way a lot of the time, and I completely agree with that statement. And I know, like, commonly now, especially, I don't know what kind of jobs people work that listen, or you know what area people sort of find themselves in. But I know in corporate now, they're very big on, they don't call it work-life balance anymore. They call it work-life integration. Which is, I get it. Like, it's a bit annoying, but I also get it. Like, I do understand that, you know, maybe it isn't a balance thing that we're looking for. It's a way to understand that we are multifaceted human beings and that we have many aspects to us. Work is one of them. Our responsibilities are one of them. But the things we like to do for fun, the things we like to do for no good reason whatsoever, those are also important. So it's trying to find a way to integrate all of these things into making you feel whole. And I'm finding that maybe there is no balance. Maybe there's no formula that you can say, this is the one. I'm going to do this every day for the rest of. Perhaps it's being able to literally take it one day at a time and say, today I was able to do the things that I wanted to do or the things that I was supposed to do, and then go to bed with that, wake up in the morning, continue. I think, so for my fatigues, my Zoom fatigues, my Teams fatigues, the traffic fatigue, honey, let me tell you something. Traffic will steal your youth if you are not watching. I hate traffic. But like I'm saying, that fatigue as well, it's a matter of trying to find ways to be present in those moments so that it doesn't stretch out and it doesn't seem like even longer than it already is. I think it's a concept we've been learning quite well in yoga, in fact. If yes. you look at all the teachers, like what the teachers have been saying to us, they tell us to sit with it. When they're telling us to do a pose and it hurts somewhere, they're not like, okay, cool, no, don't worry, just okay, fine, it's fine, you can just give up, or okay, just rest. They're like, listen, this is clearly an area that needs, because it hurts right now, because this area's kind of been sitting dormant. You don't stretch this often. And I guarantee there's another side to it, but sit with it for a while. So I think sometimes with the fatigues, I'm in a space right now where I've got to sit with some of them. How's it going for you?
Yeah. It's interesting for me because I'm going through a lot of transitions at the moment, from, you know, just moving out of home to Amani, to my new role at work, to just finding my feet again in my friendships and in my life and in my family structure. It is difficult. And I remember we did an episode of You Can Do Difficult Things, and I am currently doing difficult things. Having to parent myself through this entire phase has been difficult. But one thing that I appreciate a lot about this phase is it's teaching me a lot of patience. It's teaching me that things have their own time. And that's why I say balance does not exist, because if I need to pack my bags today and I need to go shop for furniture today, I have to do it today. That's the priority. So the priority now is not anything else. I have to put on hold the podcast. I have to put on hold every other thing so that I can get this done now, because there's systems in place that have to be followed to make sure that those things are done and done on that day. So it's just been really interesting also just seeing how I respond to the things that I have to do. There are things that previously were very important to me to be able to do them now and do them correctly and efficiently. But now I've gone into a phase where I evaluate. So I use a traffic light system where if it's red, it means I need to do it now. If it's green, it means, you know, I can sit around with it, like how you were saying. You can just sit around with it and sit with your fatigue for now. But a lot of the stuff also do require attention at the same time. So also delegating that duty, you have friends for a reason. And one of my friends, Gugu, actually called me out on this. She said to me, the thing about me is that I want to do everything for myself. I want to do everything. I don't ask for help. I don't reach out to people for help. And that was a wake-up call for me, because I realized the reason why I'm so fatigued is because I want to do everything and I want to do it by myself, for myself. So that has been a turning point for me. So my fatigue has been lessened because of that, just being able to ask my friends, hey, you know, I need to pick up something, but I know you're closer, so can you do that? And also people offering like, hey, listen, I know you have to do this, maybe let me do it for you. And that's really cool and that's really nice. So it is okay at the moment, and I guess that's why we are able now to hop back onto the podcast. But a lot of things do have to take a seat back for you to be able to do the things that really, really, really matter at that point in time. Like, everything matters, but more things will matter at a certain time than the other things. And some days we just have to like buckle down and beat against the ties. And I think it's really profound that we are able to show up even though we're going through whatever it is that we're going through, and that's life. So what's the most profound thing to you about just your ability to always just show up regardless of what you're going through?
I think it's a strategy thing. I think it's learning to manage the energy then. So it's exactly as you said right now, that you are in a phase where you're pretty much, as you assign your colors and your system, it's you then decide how much energy you're going to give to something. So when we're sitting here and we're saying, okay, cool, it's incredible that you're able to show up despite what's going on, I'm not necessarily always showing up with the same amount of energy, or I'm not exerting the same amount of energy for all the things that I'm showing up for. So you really do have to manage your energy when it comes to certain things. So you might find that you've got a few family obligations. Maybe there's a like birthday parties. Maybe you're from one of those families where everybody has like a birthday within the same month or something. Oof. And so you need to manage your energy when you show up. You need to, as we've spoken about, be clear on those boundaries when you show up, that, guys, I'm going to get there at 12. I will help with washing the dishes, but I'm leaving at 6 and I'm not staying after that. So you manage the energy that you give to something when you show up. But another thing is the thing that keeps you going, I think, and this is how I've interpreted that question, is like, what keeps you going is honestly, it's purpose. It's hard for you to die. It's hard. Like a human being, a human life is a very persistent thing. It is very hard for a person to die with their passion inside of them. Yeah. When you want to give up, there's that thing where there's something that you see, or you've seen a piece of it, but you know that I'm not there and I'm not done yet. God's not done yet. Whatever purpose has been placed on my life, I haven't reached that thing yet. So that's why you have moments, or that's why I definitely have moments where I'm really, really running on reserve, but I'm going to make the effort to be there for something, because I know that I can't let my passion or my purpose die inside of me. I can't die with that thing, and it hasn't come out yet. So I need to keep going.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it also helps to put your passion somewhere where you can see it. And what I mean by that is have something that reminds you of your why, whether it be a note, whether it be a picture, whether it be a letter to your future self or your old self, or something where when you feel like you are running on low, at least you can revisit that and remember why you have to show up. But I also think for me, the most profound thing about my ability to always show up is how I show up. There are moments where you know that you are on reserve, but everyone else around you can't pick that up. And you show up with grace, and you show up with purpose, and you do the things that you need to do, and then you go back and you rest, or you break down, or whatever you need to do to get back to wherever you need to get to. But I really do think that, as you were saying, your purpose, you can't die with your purpose. A lot of times when I think about when a life ends, I think it's a life lived well, because by the time your life is up, when people recall the kind of person that you were or the kind of things that you did, it's always the stuff about what you were able to accomplish and what you were able to do and how much you've inspired people. And so in hindsight, there's always something that you're working towards and something that you're working to. Even though we put so much pressure and so much expectation on ourselves, the people around us can give testimony of how far we've come. It's so hard to see your own growth if you don't document it, or you don't put it down in a journal, or you don't, or you don't keep track of your progress. And so I think also another thing that feeds into the fatigue, or it feeds into the disappointment, is the expectations that we put onto ourselves. If you have 5 things you need to do this week and you're expecting yourself to do them in one day, already you're setting yourself up for failure. So that's what I've been trying to do, just shifting the amount of work that I need to do. And that's why I'm saying that balance is a myth, because balance assumes that every single thing requires the same amount of energy, and they don't. Think about a mom, for example, taking care of kids and going to work and having to cook and having to rest. Those things require different levels of being a mom, and those things require different levels from you. And so balance essentially is just us trying to get as close to perfection as we can. But the closer we get, the further we stray away from it. And that's why I try not to seek for balance. I try to seek for just the foundation where I'm steady and I'm on the ground. And usually with balance, it's a tug of war, right? It's like, oh, now I rested for 5 hours. I'm feeling very guilty. I need to put in work for 5 more hours. And so I think for me, it's just building that house brick by brick. It's rest. And then what do I need now? I need to see my friends. I need to work. I need to do this. I need to do that. So it's really interesting how like different people navigate life differently. But at the end of the day, if you look at it, the sun will always rise and the sun will always set. And that's the same thing with our lives as well. So I want to know from you if you find that scheduling your breakdown helps you, or you're the type of person to do it now. Because I know for a fact, I schedule my breakdowns. I cannot, I cannot cry right now. And that's something that I found to be very unhealthy, because by the time
I'm breaking down and I'm crying, it's at the end and I'm crying about everything now. So I think
bank it all up and it's coming out with interest.
Yeah. And so now I'm trying my level best to at least cry when I need to cry, right? This thing is making me upset. Let me cry. But I also find that it takes so much for me to recover from those emotions than it does if I do it in one go and I know that I've scheduled this amount of time for me to cry over this thing and then I'm done. But if I, you know, cry today, right now, if I am to cry at this hour, my whole entire day is ruined. So how do you do it? Do you schedule your breakdowns or what's your chat?
Is it still a breakdown if it's been scheduled? definition. Does it still count as a breakdown? I was laughing at you just now because all I kept thinking was, oh, I know it's annoying, but I'm like such an astrology babe. And I'm just like, oh, this is so typical of Tandos stuff.
Yeah.
It's so rude. It's so rude. Yeah. It's so rude. But why are y'all like that though? Okay. No.
Can I just add on to that? Someone actually recently told me, obviously, like, I don't know enough about star signs to be able to pick up people's energies and be like, okay, you are acting a certain way because you have your moon sign. I don't know.
The stars are making you act like
yes. But someone, I've just been taking a keen interest now in astrology to try and understand myself more and understand, obviously, people around me and why I act the way I act. And someone said to me that people who are Aquarians are very detached from their emotions. So that's why it's easy for me to say I can schedule a breakdown because it's not important to me to cry right now, but it is important that one day I do cry, but it's not right now. There are other things that I need to attend to, which is very interesting that you also picked that up. So I've just been learning a lot about astrology and myself, and it's kind of actually helping to say, okay, maybe there is a way in which I can approach this matter, or I can approach myself in this way. But yeah, sorry, you can carry on.
Yeah, basically the way it is isn't the way it has to be.
Yes.
Yeah. No, yeah. So I don't schedule a breakdown because, like I'm saying, then it's not a breakdown anymore. And I can't really cry on cue. I can't be like, okay, remember all the stuff. Yeah. What I do know, though, is that I'm a very slow processor, first of all. So something big can happen and I might only be able to actually just be like, yikes, in about 3 months or so, and then do the release at that time. I am working on that, but I'm going to just be genuine and authentic and do things as I do them. But also, just cry when you have to cry. Like if you are overcome with the urge or the emotion, if the rain starts, just stand there and let it happen, because the more you resist, the more work you create for yourself. True. And it's going to catch up with you. It's going to catch you off guard somewhere where you don't want it. So I don't know. I think it's just been easier for me to just, if it's happening, just let it happen. If the tears come, just don't stop them at this particular point. If you cannot, I don't know, like there's this thing I do. Sometimes I know I did it a lot with my aunt when I was growing up with my aunt, and she would say, I don't know, certain chores that she would give. She'd be like, you have to do A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And I would look her dead in the eye and I'd say, I'm going to do it. I just want you to know that I don't want to. But I think it's pretty much my approach to everything is just like being able to say, like, I'm presently not, this is not for me. I don't want this. Like, so just have the breakdown, like as it comes to you. It's been so helpful because I've looked back. And I love that we spoke about documenting things. I think it's so important. I used to like try to delete or erase my journal entries on the days that I wasn't happy or the days that I was experiencing emotions that I thought were negative. But honestly, it's also important because when you've got that document, like the documented sort of journey, and you can see how things change, it isn't that difficult for you because you're like, none of this is permanent. So it's okay for me to cry right now. It's okay for me to just know, just to sit down on the floor right now and know, you know, it's okay for these things to happen because it's not going to last long. And the more I resist, perhaps that's how I prolong the suffering or the pain that I feel. So I've really, really been trying not to prolong or resist. I've been trying to be genuine about how I feel and present in how I feel and trust that I've got the time and the space. If something happens maybe in a crowd and I know I'm not safe to necessarily release like that, and that's unfortunate, but it is a part of vulnerability. Vulnerability isn't just like, yeah, you're just vulnerable at any given point. You have to know that you're safe. So if I'm not safe at that particular point, it's just like, okay, I know for a fact I will make the time and space for when I am, and then I will deal with it. So I don't know if that's necessarily a breakdown still, but just the authenticity is like number one. Like, I'm not okay. I'm not gonna try to be okay to make anybody else around me feel better right now. I'm simply not okay, and that is okay. I'm sure I'll be okay, but now I'm not. So just that authenticity and letting it happen when it happens. That's pretty much how to deal. That's how I've been dealing with a breakdown, but they're not cute.
Breakdowns are not cute. They are not. I was watching a video by Kayans. So she had a vlog where at the end, she was just basically saying she has not had time, you know, to deal with her personal problems because work has taken over. She has to see her friends. She has to make sure that, you know, she's running her home and things like that. And that was when I realized that that's how I am as well. I literally push everything back because I do so much. I have to be able to meet all the deadlines. And so my life has been governed by a deadline for such a long time, because in school, obviously, you're governed by a deadline, and in varsity, and then now it's work. And I have failed to remove myself from those deadlines to say, okay, so I do have a deadline for Friday, but I can, you know, pace myself the entire week. I work on it and make sure that I am done by it, and then I approach the next deadline. And then I forget to just do the basics, the basic things, like just sleep enough, eat enough, see my friends, watch a vlog. You know, I've been watching Bridgerton for so long, and the first time around when I watched Bridgerton, I watched it in one go, and so my life has literally changed so much since 2020. To now, where I can't even finish a series. I haven't even finished Insecure. I haven't been able to just sit and watch whatever, like fake watch TV or something. There's always something to do. So I get what you're saying when you say, do it in the moment, do it now. And I had also seen a tweet where someone was saying that they are adopting that mentality of do it now. So if something is on the floor, pick it up now. If you think about someone, call them now. If you want to eat something, eat it now. Like, just do it now and get it out of the way. And I can see how that would help in terms of just get it out of the way, like get it done, and then you don't have to do it again, and you don't have to think about it again. And this is also why I remember we had a call, and I said, you know, I've been thinking about something that happened so far back, and I'm only realizing right now what I was meant to do, because I just shove it in the back burner and I just move on with what I need to do now and focus on what gets me paid now. But that is very detrimental to self, because it's like, okay, but your personal health matters as well, you know? So it's learning. Like Google would say, it's uncomfortable growth. You're growing, it's very uncomfortable. You're learning new things. You have to confront yourself. You have to be introspecting all the time and things like that. So it is interesting that now, obviously, my homework is do it now. I have to do it now and be conscious and be mindful to do things in the now, and also to acknowledge that, like, it's a journey. It's not going to be done in one night or in a week. It's something that I have to be practicing over and over again for me to be able to get to a point where I'm happy enough to say, okay, this hurt me. I can cry now. I don't have to look at it ever again after I'm done. And I can move on. So I think maybe also looking into what my markers of keeping it together would be. So if I can see that I'm burning out, if I can see that I'm not eating as I should, if I see that I'm not making enough time for my friends, I'm not making enough time for myself, that's when I know that subconsciously I'm trying to keep it together. Do you have like any markers that
you look out for when you are at that point where you're breaking at the seams and you're trying to keep it together?
It's something that you've made reference to quite a few times throughout this episode, and that's isolation and avoidance. So I love that you've started. I can tell if I hope everyone else can tell how much Tando's grown since this hiatus, this small little break. But Tando was very much like a horse that's running alone type thing, and I can tell that you've started really, really like letting your friends in. You've like started letting people inside your heart. But that's exactly what like lets me know that like things are not good and you are really, 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 really cruising is isolation and avoidance. So there's things that I avoid. I will isolate myself from social circles like friends and family, and especially the people that know you really, really well, because they're going to sit there and ask you the difficult question or how are you really. They're going to look at you and say, well, how is this and that going? The very thing that is causing you to be so thinly spread out. They will ask about that within the first, like, you know, few moments of being together. So I tend to isolate myself and avoid a lot of things. Like when I start avoiding things that are very mundane and otherwise inconsequential to the way the rest of my day could go. So I might start avoiding, I don't know, maybe like people looking too happy on social media. I'm just log out for the rest of the day because I don't need that. I don't need that. I don't need all of that positive energy right now. I'm running on empty. You know what I mean? So it's like those small things where I'm just irritable, I'm avoidant, and I just isolate myself and I don't speak. Then I know that like, well, what there's something going on. And sometimes I know the root, sometimes I don't. But those always are like the indicators to say, okay, cool, something's up here. You need something, you need a shift, you need something to re-energize you. And I think it's so weird that the isolation and the avoidance is what I like, that's the default for when things are bad for me. But then sometimes when you're going through something like that, and I just recently had this experience where I was quite tired, but stressed, worried about certain things. And I didn't want to go away on vacation with my family. But my cousin, she was just like, no, man, just come. I insist. And it reset my energy. Like it gave me energy. It reframed things for me. There were things I just realized, things that clicked. It's the exact feeling you probably feel when you're able to, that moment where you realize that I actually don't have to do all of these things by myself. You can delegate. You can ask for someone to hold your hand while you do something. And maybe somebody will be available to help. Maybe they won't. But you don't have to do it alone. You don't have to do it that way. It doesn't have to be that lonely, basically. So, yeah, those are my markers.
Yeah, I think what clicked with me was that I can't always complain about always having to do things by myself or feeling alone or feeling lonely when I don't exercise my ability to delegate the duties to my friends, because surely they love me enough to say, I can help you out with this feeling, or I can help you out with this event in your life, or I can hold your hand whilst you feel a certain way. And it also really stems a lot from growing up the way I grew up. I was, you know, that child who did everything for everyone, that child who everyone looked up to, that child who everyone was like, yo, I need advice, you know. So for me, I've always been standing by myself and I've always been the person to have the answers. So now when my friends say, Tando, you don't have to have all the answers, like it's okay. Like it's okay for you to say, you know what, I don't know. It's okay for you to say, I messed up. It's okay for you to say, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to try something different. And that's why when you were saying, like, sometimes you don't even know that that's what you need until you're in it, right? Yeah. So allowing good things to happen to you, allowing people to be there for you, allowing for yourself to also go, you know, on vacation with your family to feel good, to feel re-energized. And that carries you for 2 more weeks maybe, and then you go out for lunch with a friend, have bottomless mimosas, and you feel really, really good, you know. So I think it's so interesting how the mind works in relation to the body, in that your body will always be the indicator, I think, first of you breaking at the seams. So being tired, not wanting to be seen by people, and then also like the thoughts that you keep in your mind and how they feed into your energy throughout the day. Like how you were saying, you don't want to see other people on social media being like all happy and stuff. You want to go through this now and go through it fully. I get that. There are days where I just feel like leaving social media. I feel like maybe let me delete. And then I remember, oh, I work on social media, so I can't do that. So it's just really, really interesting that there are so many ways in which you can pick up that you're breaking at the seams, and there are many other ways you can put yourself back at the seams. But there's also been, so this is, I don't know if I'm changing the topic a little bit or what, but it's I think it's still related. There's this quote that has been circulating on Instagram, and I'm going to read the quote, right? And I just want to hear what you think of it. I want to hear if you are as frustrated about this quote as other people have been on Twitter. Okay, so it reads, "I hope our friends understand that we're growing and things won't be the same anymore. We're facing a lot of challenges as we grow. These are critical years that need us to focus. People we date now have the potential to be our wives or husbands. We need time to learn them. Some of us are breadwinners, some of us are financially challenged, and some of us are still trying to find our feet, fighting for the best. Forgive us in being absent in some occasions. Priorities change with age. Don't take silence personal. We are not haters. We are busy with this unforgiving, hustling life. This age needs our full attention. If we sleep on it now, we might sleep on the future forever." So I just want to know, like, do you think, right, in, because obviously I feel like there are some parts that are very significant and some parts that can turn your eyes either way, but I just want to know, in your journey, you know, navigating the 20s, have you ever felt like there were times where you had to be completely silent and isolate yourself, like how you were saying, when you're going through something you do tend to isolate yourself? But do you think that we are navigating friendships and relationships the best way we can at the moment? And has social media given us access into people's lives that we shouldn't have access to, and the ways in which people live? Because, I mean, I could be on social media posting my smoothie, right? And everyone thinks, oh, she has so much time on her hands, and people want to, you know, always be chatting it up with you and stuff like that. But how do we navigate friendships, and what about, like, this quote do you think made people very upset?
I think the best thing about social media is that it's very democratic, so everybody has a voice, but also yeah. It's always so interesting to watch and just to be an observer. Sometimes you don't always have to participate. So yes. I watched that quote circulate on Instagram, and it had a very positive reception. And then about a few days, it didn't even take a week, by the time it got to Twitter, everyone was sick and tired of it there. And so I think I'm very ambivalent about the quote, right? Yes. Mixed feelings, because certain parts definitely make sense. Certain parts are 100%. And if we are being fair, and if we are, my favorite policy is grace first and positive interpretations always. I always try to give the best interpretation, or to understand the speaker to mean, it's called charitable interpretation. I learned it in philosophy, well, in ethics. Yeah. But just to give the speaker the highest sort of understanding of what they mean, so that you can really understand it before you start making any arguments for or against it. So yeah. With that applied, I totally understood it. There are people who are simply saying, just be, please be fair, or please be gracious and graceful in accepting that, you know, we can't spend as much time hanging out as we once could. And that's, yeah. That's simply what it means, right? On just a surface face value level. And I totally get that. But the parts where I was just like, okay, we can extend on this though. And this is where I was like, okay, maybe I can see why some people on the different a different social media platform didn't take it well, is that you need to sort of be in, you've got to include your community, and you've got to maintain and build relationships. Mm-hmm. In as much as I think it's definitely the line where they were like, the people who are dating have the potential to be our wives. It's so silly. Of course, that's fine. But like, your friends that you have the potential to be your friends forever. So like, invest mm-hmm. in that too. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, the family relations you have are going to be your family relations forever. Invest in that too. So I think where that ambivalence came from was just to say, like, I feel like we have this culture of, you know, phones are really, really dangerous, and just screens in general are stealing a lot of our time and our life's essence. And so it's important, and a lot of people deal with like the pressure that we face in life by piling on the responsibilities, right? To say, and it's something we all do, like if you're feeling insecure, you'll work harder. You're not working hard enough, you don't think it's going to pay off in your future. Mm-hmm. So you keep piling on responsibilities and distractions so that you can feel like you're doing something, so you can feel worthy, so you can feel like you're going to be okay. Yeah. But a lot of the things we like to pile up are nonsense. We're running from something a lot of the time, let's be fair. Yeah. A lot of the time, you just don't want to feel insecure. You just don't want people to think you're not doing anything. You want people to see you working and to see that you're trying, and you, everybody else is always so busy. How come I'm not that busy? Let me also get busy. You know, those kinds of things. Or I feel so insecure, or I'm very, very lonely. So instead of like being okay or being curious about my loneliness, what it means, where it comes from, I'm gonna just get so busy that I don't even care. And I'm too busy to come to this and that social gathering. I'm too busy for A, B, C, D, E, F, G. So I do think a lot of the time we do just pile on like nonsense to justify mm-hmm. certain things that aren't as important. So mm-hmm. I understood that statement, but I think we can add on to that to say, just make sure you're not distracting yourself too much with things so that it makes some sort of an excuse not to be a supportive figure or a present figure in the lives of the people that you care about and the people that care about you. So yeah, I feel like it's not always a good excuse. Like, the person then becomes your wife and husband, and then
no friends.
No friends, precisely. It's like, what are you saying? I think that line killed me, because I was just like, oh, this is silly as hell. So yeah. I'm just saying, it's just, and the do it now mentality comes back. If I cross your mind, send me a little heart. Hello, I'm thinking of you.
Yeah.
If you have 10 minutes, call.
Mm. Yeah.
What about
one
you?
Thing, one thing I've started doing is whenever I'm stuck in traffic, I have a list of the people that I should call. And like how you were saying, traffic will steal your youth, but it doesn't have to. You can do things whilst you are stuck in traffic. I can do things whilst, you know, I'm waiting for my eggs to boil. I can, you know, multitask here and there where you can call people, check up on people, reply to messages. I even have to leave notes for myself to reply to all my messages, reply to my emails, because I do tend to get like swamped with work, right? And I think that's why I was saying some parts of this are significant and some are not. Also, the way in which it was phrased, if it was phrased differently, it probably would have been a different chat that we're having right now in terms of decentering yourself from just the responsibilities of the relationship and the responsibilities that come with like the friendships and just being an individual that exists in order to be there and show up for people as individuals really helps. Because once you get into a relationship, obviously your attention is going to switch. Like how you were saying the last time, that for the first time, it's that one-on-one love. And so you cater to that person a lot more than you a group of friends, right? But if you treat everyone like individuals, then you give everyone that one-on-one attention and one-on-one love. So for me, it's more about, yes, we're growing. Yes, these are critical years. Yes, we're focusing. Yes, we're prioritizing. Yes, things change. But things don't have to change to a point where you wake up one day and you realize you've lost people because you've drifted so far apart from them and you didn't make time for people. And I think one thing that really, really hurts with losing people that way is that you realize too late, or you hop onto Instagram and you see the people that you used to be so close to now spending so much more time with other people, but there was no communication of, okay, I am gaining more interests, my priorities are changing, your relationships will change, your friendships will change, you will change, the things you look for will change. And so as a result of that, obviously your circles will change. But I think being transparent and open to people is the way to go. And this also brings me to the whole conversation we've been having about ghosting, like ghosting people, ghosting friends, ghosting family members, ghosting your work, even and ghosting your own goals. Like, you need to be very sure about the, you know, the endings, like end the things with as much honesty
close,
as
possible. Yeah.
Yeah.
Close the cycle. Close properly and communicate if you can. And I think that's maybe what rubbed people wrong about that statement. Yeah. Like, don't be a lazy communicator. Come on. Correct. Don't keep reposting this thing and hoping that I'll accept that. It's nonsense. I'm your friend. I'm your family member. Talk to me.
Yeah, and just hoping that your friend's going to be like, oh, she's busy, yeah, I forgive. No, like, just communicate and say, during the week, maybe I might not be able to speak to you, but we can always grab ice cream on Saturdays. That's better, you know. And there was an episode of Insecure. I think this is where we'll close it. The first episode of Insecure of season 5, Issa, big Issa, is talking to small Issa in the mirror, and she's holding herself accountable for the things she had said she wanted to do when she was younger, right? And she's asking, where are these people? Who are these people? What are you doing? And things like that. And I think everyone has to have moments like that where you ask yourself, are you happy with the decisions that you've made so far? And being very open, and honestly, if you are not happy, there's still time to change how you navigate the next couple of weeks and next couple of months. And that's the same thing with friendships. Are you happy with the decisions that you've made? Are you happy with being the lazy friend? Are you happy with being the friend who doesn't show up? Are you lazy? Are you happy with being the friend who is known for being unreliable? So check up on yourself as much as you check up on other people, and hold yourself accountable as much as you hold other people accountable. But this is where we will end it. Linda, do you have any final words, any closing? How are you feeling? Are you good?
I'm good. I feel good. And yeah, as usual, can you just all be kind to yourselves? It's mm-hmm. so important to be graceful, gracious, and just all those soft landing spots for yourself and for the small people and the people you care about. Let's keep building that. So always and always take care of yourselves and take care of each other. What about you?
I am feeling really good. I feel like this episode was needed as the first episode for us coming back. And thank you so much, you guys, for just the love you've also been showing Amani. Linda and I are always so shocked because it's both our babies combined, and we're just seeing everything come to life. And you guys being receptive, and the messages that you are sending us are keeping us going. Thank you so much. And yes, on being kind, also be kind to the people that are not showing up for you, because there might be a reason why they're not showing up. So just try to find out why people are acting the way that they're acting, and also present as much grace to yourself as you do to other people. We will see you guys in the next episode. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating, and also leave us a review. If there is something that you guys want us to speak about, please do let us know, and we will try to tackle that episode. Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.